Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and I want to welcome Marie to the studio. Hello, Marie.
Morning, Aaron, and Atamari are flying it off.
Can you see the yellow sunflower out the window? Maybe not. It's just not quite through there. Now Marie's going to get away from the microphone.
Beautiful. No,
yeah, Jasmine from the Environment Centre planted them. Some of them got their heads lopped off, but there's still a few survived. So
did somebody take their heads off?
No, before they grow.
Oh, okay.
That's someone whacked it as they walked past. So later on, people will come and grab their heads for seeds. That happens.
That's okay. We'll grow some more.
But that's okay, though. That's like when they're near the end of their life.
Yeah,
so
they're lovely.
That's the thing to do, as long as the Environment Centre gets a few. So just brightening
it. And good on the environment.
So that's just, if we're in the town hall, folks. There's a little gardens along the street and
things to brighten our day.
Something to brighten things up, yeah. So Marie is a local counsellor therapist, and well, you're not really practising much anymore, are you?
No, I have. It's been over 20 years for me, so.
What?
Yeah, of counselling now, about 15, 20 years. Yeah.
Really?
Is it not that long?
I don't.
15, where are we? 2015, so add it up, Aaron.
That's 9, Marie.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. That's
but long. I started before then.
Yeah. Well, you were training and you were doing stuff.
So that's when I had got my bachelor's. I think it was 2015, something like that. Oh, my gosh.
That feels about accurate.
It feels hard going back on the years. Aaron, when we were younger, I never thought like that. I never had years to fall back on. Now it's an age thing, so stop making me talk about years.
Okay, all right, we'll stop that. We wanted to be a little bit more positive this morning. I've been, for some of my political stuff, local politics, we've been talking about the importance of a structure plan for the community, which is all the council stuff, and that's looking to the future about how we're going to be, and we've got plans in place for how the community might grow. And it kind of seems appropriate to take that same concept and bring it into this realm that you and I talk about, which is having a vision for the community that is
healthy.
Yeah, or just having a vision, because at the moment we're drawn into Marie wanted to talk about David Seymour when she came in. Because he's
the
annoying.
Things I'd like to talk
he's
about.
He's annoying. That's where you were.
I'm just going to say, see less. Going to challenge that a little bit.
David can't see more.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the joke. Yeah. But the point is, the more you fight him, the stronger he gets. Because that's how he gets his supporters to support him. As if people of different political persuasion are attacking him, like he loves it. It really works well for him. So we kind of have to go and do something completely different, which I think is having a positive vision. And we haven't had a lot of leaders who can do that. What we're going to do is just focus on our own community.
Yeah, which
is the importance of a positive vision for the community. And even, I don't know what that would be. It's a little bit hand wavy and things like that. And some people might be thinking, oh, just get on and fix the potholes. But that's actually, it's a quote from the Bible, Marie. I'll quote the Bible instead of you this time.
Okay.
It was because I remember someone quoting this. We did, when I was at architecture school, we did this project in Otara, and one of the guys was the leader of the group, and we presented to the local people, and he said, a quote of the Bible is saying, without a vision, the people will die, or the people will perish. Yeah,
the not people die. Perish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that, for that community, there was a lot of nodding heads and like, yeah. But I think it's a good, it's a good kind of
it
lesson.
It is. I think, well, there's many great examples of leadership or great words in the Bible that we tend to use in our just everyday life and never recognise where that wisdom comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that without vision, that we can go off track. Well, we just become, I mean, there's no direction, is there? Without a vision, the people perish, meaning there is no direction. We have nothing. We just are wandering around aimlessly, not connecting and not coming together to form something. And that's the whole basis of society, is to come together to form something, a basis, a foundation where we can work from. I mean that's just our natural way of being. In that, of course, people rise up to lead and people rise up to with vision. Then it's about coming around and, you know, who's got the loudest voice, I guess, at the end of the day.
Because the antidote, I won't mention his name again, but the antidote to that stuff is what sort of country do you want to live in? Mm. Instead of saying, I hate this thing here, I hate that thing here, it's like, what sort of country do you want to live in? And people in that headspace will immediately go, I want to live in a country that doesn't have da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, no, that's not the answer. You've got to be able to say in positive terms, like positive language, what, or at least not referring to a negative, what you want this country to be like.
Now you've pressed on something for me that, it could get a bit tricky for some people, I suppose. But for me, I believe that our treaty is the founding document that our country needs to stand on. and I believe that the Māori version is more positive towards New Zealand, Aotearoa, and how we function as a people, which is all about unity and coming together, not about control, but about partnership and looking after what we have and each other. So I think that if we stuck by the principles of our treaty, the Māori version, we would be a lot better off.
I'm scared to use the word principles now because apparently they can change.
Yeah, well, this is it. We're going to get finicky on silly little languages.
Yeah, and that's where you've got to come back to what sort of country do you want to live in?
Yeah, because those red herrings will set us off in a different conversation, and then we forget what we were about, and that is honouring the founding document of our country, and actually looking at it and going, "This makes sense."
And there is a positive vision in all that. I did the treaty workshop last year that Raglan Naturally puts on, and should be hopefully putting some on again this year. And although I don't know, I haven't talked to anyone about that. I'm just saying I hope they do. And I learned about I knew a lot already about what happened after the treaty was signed and the betrayals and all of that.
Mm.
What I hadn't been aware of is pre-treaty, there was what I got from the interactions between Māori and Pākehā, and there's all this positive cross-pollination of cultures going on and sharing skills and trades and all sorts of stuff happening. And that was an astonishing... I was really amazed at what a positive vision that was.
Yeah.
And I actually felt like a bit of a weight lift off me because it was something that had happened in this country that showed that the two cultures could work together.
Yes.
And up until that point, it was great that I understood what had happened in the past for New Zealand from 1840 to lead us to here, and the betrayals and the wrongs and the more recent time things being righted again a little bit. But to have that actual positive vision to know that it did work at one point, and it's sad and bad that it didn't, that it fell apart afterwards, and we know all the reasons for that, but it actually is possible for us to work together in a fairly positive,
absolutely
constructive way.
Absolutely, I do believe that.
Yeah.
I truly do. I think that that was the heart of Māori back in the day, and for many Pākehā as well. That this beautiful, incredible land that we live on, which was so nourishing and could give us so much, and we're a small people. We weren't an ancient people, so to speak. So we still had plenty of groundwork to do to build the foundations of who we wanted to be as a people. They're all great words, but in the course of history, we've lost the essence of what our forefathers and mothers wanted for us, which was unity and care for this beautiful. And I can't say, I'm a Pākehā. I haven't even got a drop of Māori in me, but my passion for this is massive. And I can't say the Māori language that well either, but I'm trying to explain words in a way that have a meaning for other people. I think the Māori language does it beautifully. I think our English language can be quite streamlined to mean a certain thing, and we get stuck there, and we can't outgrow that language.
It's well known that different there are concepts that only appear in some languages and not in others, and I'm sure there's concepts in English that don't translate that well into Māori as well, except everyone.
Well, that's obvious.
Everyone who speaks
the treaty.
everyone who speaks Maori in this country can also speak English pretty well, so that's not a problem. Going that way.
Yeah, and I think we can get stuck too, Aaron, on, you know, we've learnt the history as we came through school of the treaty. What we were taught.
Were we taught?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was called the Maori Wars when we were at school, right?
I have memories of Pas, as they were called, Pas.
Yeah,
back then.
I actually don't remember much. Like in terms of my history classes or social studies classes, I don't remember a lot.
No, I think mine was more of a lived experience than it was an educational experience that I got. And I'm very thankful for that, but probably the best education I got was when I did my bachelor's and I learnt the history of the treaty. And I learnt the real history and I heard some stories and I understood the difficulties that were happening from these stories that I was hearing from the studies that I was doing. And it just and it was Simon Mortara, I don't know, I've put his name out there now, poor guy. He was an incredible tutor.
Well, that's okay. You're giving him a big up, so
yeah,
that's okay.
Simon Mortara.
Where was he? Over in Hamilton?
He's in Hamilton at Vision College. I'm pretty sure he's still there. He may not be doing the subject because it was under our counselling, but he is the best teacher I've ever heard talking about the treaty.
So for people who don't know, Vision College is where you went to do your counselling training.
Bachelor of Counselling.
But with a faith-based, a Christian angle to it. Is that the right way to say it?
I guess, well, it
or
had
a Christian lens on it, maybe.
Christian lens on it, a lot of our studies.
I just bring that up because people might tend to think of the church-based things as being quite conservative in this country, but 10 years ago this guy was there.
He's like, incredible.
Giving
honestly,
you the honest.
I'm so thankful for what I learnt. It opened my eyes up and I understood some things that I never understood before. And I encourage people to, before you start getting upset about things or this injustice and that injustice, you know, do your own backstory, you know, have a look at the backstory and maybe have a look at some of the history around the treaty and the people that were involved with it and how that eventuated.
I had a similar experience. When I went to, this must be 15 years ago, I went to a permaculture weekend at the Corkery Centre and Tex Rickard, who's passed, but he was Eva Rickard's husband, he told us about the history of the land. And of course I'd grown up, I was a teenager, or I was at school anyway, through all the early years of Bastion Point and the Raglan Golf Course and all of that. So and Eva was, her name was Mud in the Pākehā community throughout the country based on what they were hearing in the media. And I was really astonished to hear the story from Tex, who lived it, including how old would he have been around? I think he was around. The thing that got me was that the injustice had happened so recently, like it was this side of the Second World War.
That's huge.
And I can't remember what year it was, but it was, you know, the people who were protesting because it was happening to them right then. It wasn't something from the 1800s, you know. The injustice had happened that recently, and it kind of blew my mind. Even though I already knew that the national level media can really mislead us on some things by not talking. It's not that they lie outright; they just don't talk about.
they don't talk about this.
They don't give you some key bits of information.
Leave that bit
which was the story of how the golf course was put there in a way that it should never. It was wrong. And I won't go into the details now. People can look that up. But it was just that moment of revelation. I was like,
there we go. It's revelation. I said before, it's lived experience. And some of us have lived experience of things. And, Eva's husband, Ted, had lived experience. Had lived experience. You can't take someone's story away from them, you know. And I think that's more powerful than media stuff is somebody's testimony, somebody's story about their experience, and you can't mess with that. And so having those stories, thank goodness people are still hearing them because there's truth in stories. And it amazes me, you know, we look back in history and we go, well, there's not enough evidence on something. because it's somebody's story. But, you know, that is our evidence, is because that's the only way we can get evidence from something, is to hear somebody's testimony, your experience, your story about that. So, yeah, I think the treaty has a massive story around it that a lot of us, need to hear and involve ourselves with, so that we're more informed and not just coming from a political viewpoint that just causes division. Because the true writing of the treaty, I think the heart behind it was good. Compared to some of the treaties that were happening around the world, we had a good one.
There weren't a lot of treaties at that point. They didn't bother with the treaty. No. They just marched in and took over.
There we go. And, yeah. Well, they did have a forming document, but they weren't treaties. We had a treaty. We had two cultures coming together and trying to negotiate the foundations of our country, two coming together.
Yeah, and something from the treaty workshop is the Māori leadership at that time was very constitutionally minded.
Yes.
Like they knew what they needed to make it work.
They were already living in community, doing community quite well.
There's so many, we talk about the word iwi, but iwi was, the word hapu was more key. There were so many hapu around the country. And they knew how to negotiate with each other and form alliances. And as Pākehā, we heard the stories of the fighting, the wars that might have happened. But there was so much more negotiation and different interplay. And I'm not really the person to speak about that. I'm just saying that that's something that I learned that was filled in a few more blanks for me. But this thing about, like, we started off wanting to talk about a vision for our community. And going back to the what happened with, like, Raglan was one of two places where the, what are the words I want to call it, the modern justice movement for Māori land issues started, Bastion Point and the Raglan Golf Course. And I think that's a little bit of Raglan. I think that's a little bit of what should make up our vision of Raglan, or what Raglan's about.
Nice.
Is that we're usually first or in the early...
We're the
part of the country that takes on things early.
I do believe that.
Innovates. And I actually think Eva Rickard, or as Fire Eva, as people who knew her and respected her called her, she did have a vision.
Yes,
she got that, it's not just about the golf course and returning that land where it should rightfully to the owners that should rightfully have it, but things like Rick tells the story of the start of extreme waste for him was because he was a marine. Is he a marine biologist?
Yeah, I think he.
Because he always wants to talk
with
my daughter about marine science stuff now. Yeah, so he wanted to clean up the harbour, and he went and saw Fire Eva.
She
instructed him that he had to sort out the rubbish dump and all crap
awesome.
Coming into the water from there.
A great conversation.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a thing. Once Eva told you to do something, you pretty much had to go and do it.
Well, I mean, it was pointless, you know, starting at the top of the cliff.
Well, pointless starting at the bottom when the problem started
the other
at the top.
Way.
Yeah. So that was, and it wasn't the only reason that it started, because there were other things afoot in the country around zero waste and all that happening. But for Rick, that was a powerful motivator. And Fire Eva also, she rescued the old school building. She was responsible for getting the art centre started in there, because that building was about to be demolished. Like, if you go and look under the old school, there's a photo of the building looking really run down with some council trucks parked in front of it. It was just the old depot for the council. And so, you know, and now that's a thriving centre for art, and it supports, you know, all the artists in our community get a massive support from the things that are going on there. And that was originally her vision.
So there you go. You have somebody who's working away in community, isn't being out there in the media as such, like, this is what's happening.
Well, she ended up in the media, unfortunately.
She did. But her vision was all about bringing community and not losing what we had or what we have, but engaging with what we have and bringing it into the future with us, and not leaving it behind in the past and forgetting about it, about these things that are going to matter in the future.
And I should say, I'm not trying to speak of her history, because I don't know a lot of it. These are just the little things I've picked up.
We can be afraid to talk about something, Aaron, because we aren't so informed. And I think that can stop us from having a voice, because again, that's coming from the media. That's coming from a place of, unless you have all the facts, you shouldn't speak.
But what we're trying to talk about is we're trying to pull various strands that we see in our community that would help form a vision for what we're about and who we want to be in the future. And I think, and I don't know much of the history prior to that, but there is something about Raglan that there's innovative things, and innovative is not a good enough word for what I'm saying, because what happened to the Raglan Golf Course, you could say it was innovative, but there's much more. It's not the right word, is it? But it was early adopters, not the right phrase either.
Well, I think they're
it's people.
I want to say these warriors here. I want to say these pioneering spirits here. You know, these people.
But
we
don't want to say pioneering spirit, because we're talking about the Raglan Golf Course, and it was the pioneering spirit that caused the problem in the first place.
Well, you know, that's who we are as Kiwis. We are pioneers, and we don't want to not be who we are, because there is a place for that, and there's a place for Pākehā. In Māoridom.
Well, I guess it can
and
be.
And there's a place for Māoridom in Pākehā.
I guess that you can be pioneering without all the oppression. So, a different way, a different kind of pioneering.
Oppression comes from wanting ownership, Aaron. And that's where we've got it wrong. And that's why I say, go back to the principles and the Māori version. It's not about ownership, it's about partnership and coming together and keeping what we've got, retaining. And seeing the value and growing what we've got. If we, you know, positivity and vision comes from recognizing what we already have and not giving it away, because we're not aware enough to realize what's happening at that top layer.
If we try to define, well, it's hard to define, but what's in the air out here that these things keep happening because the Raglan Golf Course was one of the first two. I don't know my history well enough to know which came first, Bastion Point or Raglan Golf Course, but it doesn't really matter because it was the start of something.
Mm.
And, you know, when Extreme started, Extreme Zero Waste, there were like, maybe it was possibly the fourth community recycle place in the country, and it has served as a model for so many others.
Yeah.
And to the point where Rick's main job now in that area, because he doesn't work at Extreme anymore, but is to consult with like Auckland Council, the biggest council in the country. At a similar time, Whangaroa Harbour Care started up, and it's not unique to Raglan, but it's such a fantastic example of what can happen around this harbour, and it has stopped. that organisation has ceased in the last 12 months, but the model for what could happen is there for everybody to see, and the work that the old school does. I mean, I don't know what other old schools, other art centres do in other communities, but like the Raglan Arts Weekend was a wonderful innovation for supporting local artists and enabling that part of our community to flourish. We've got the Environment Centre across the way here from the radio station, and they're doing so many. Katie was showing me the list on their board the other day, like about 12 different things that they get separate funding for all these.
Awesome.
You know, the Repair Cafe is the latest thing that's happening. I think it's happening this weekend, actually.
Awesome. So, that sounds good.
Yeah, so that's a hub of innovation and trying to find solutions to environmental problems that work in our society as it is, you know.
Yeah.
And then we've got things like Potama Rites of Passage that Maddie and Tiaki started quite a while ago now, which is looking at doing things for our young people as they grow up. And, you know, rites of passage is a thing that most cultures in history have had, and our culture doesn't, and most people agree is sorely lacking. So that's happening. There's Parenting with Nonviolence, which Te Maurito is shepherding into a new version that suits this country. There's Rob's doing his Kura Taiao. These are all things with kids that I noticed, like all how we treat our kids and how we raise our kids.
There's a youth group. We've got the youth group going.
Yeah. And there's stuff that happened in soccer where there was an explosion of girls playing the sport just because the girls were accepted we stopped thinking about them as these annoying things that we used to make up a team. Used to be that attitude, you know, that they were people in their own right and they deserved to be treated with some basic dignity. It wasn't like there was a big campaign or anything. It's just a shift in thinking. And so there's four or five different things happening with how we raise our children at the moment in this community. And that's, you know, and this is, and it's new.
Yeah, so if you look at these threads that you're talking about, if we had written those down and then we just put a line and threaded them all together, you'd have quite a clear picture of kind of the foundation of Raglan is very much about, well, it's very much about caring for the environment, caring for each other, caring for families, food, resource, using resource, not throwing resource away.
That's part of the zero waste, yeah.
Yeah, gardening, you know, being resourceful for each other, thinking about how we can, you know, even grow food within our own community.
Well, there's lots of things happening like that. At the moment, there is, oh, I can't even describe it. I need someone from the Environment Centre to come and talk about this. I'll get Jasmine to talk about it next time. People experimenting with having a piece of land. No, I can't even describe it. It's like.
Is it like what they do in England?
No, it's not. No. It's not like that. Like the commons kind of garden area or the allotments. No, it's just someone's got a piece of rural land, and there's a collection of people who are benefiting from the food that's grown there. But I don't know the details. I can't even talk about it properly. This is it's such a new thing that I haven't done an interview on yet.
But it's still that same flavour, eh? And that's what you got to realise with Raglan is there is definitely a flavour there. There is definitely a sense of maybe we can be forerunners in how the treaty could work. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could actually show that the Māori version of the treaty can actually function well in community? It's pretty.
Well, so the Raglan naturally board is set up like that. So they have four hapu representatives and four community representatives.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's a big learning experience for everybody there about how to make all that work.
Yeah, because we're not just talking about language, Aaron. You know, people get stuck on, you know, we've got to say Māori words or language, and we get stuck in these areas of like, that's what I've got to do. I'm talking about a way of living. It's a way of being. It's who you are as a person. That's what our treaty was. This wasn't a learn my language. And therefore, we now are coming together.
Well, that wasn't.
And it looks like you're doing a really good thing for me. I've been around a long time. It's like this to me makes no sense anymore.
Well,
I'm not
the language issues weren't an issue then because most of the Pākehā people had learnt Māori.
It's
it was
a
the
gesture.
Other way.
Yeah. It feels like a gesture. No, I'm not. I don't want to be with the gesture. I want to be with the actual heart behind what this meant. When our older people signed this and where their heart was at for us going forward. And
actually,
so when you're looking at community and, you know, everything comes from a blueprint and our blueprint is in that treaty.
Actually,
and we can't ignore it. We cannot get away from it. If we try and ignore it, we're going to get so far out of who we are, we will get dominated and overtaken by powers that are far greater and have nothing to do with humanity. And our treaty was based around our humanness of coming together and engaging with the environment around us, not controlling it, but engaging with it and making it better for us all. And so that means that, you know, our foreshores and our bush life and everything that we had that was nourished here and already so, so good. We should be tenfold now. Our bounty should be full, but unfortunately we've pillaged and we've taken and our resources are getting snatched out from under us and we're not realising. I have this vision that one day we'll wake up and poor little New Zealand will be just like sucked away and a piece of dust left be blown out because all our resources have been taken from us, you know.
So that's not which is not the vision we want. Like we've been talking about having a positive vision.
Then go to the blueprint.
While you were talking about that, it dawned on me that that's actually the issue around our race relations and the treaty in this country is there's not a lot of space in the conversation at the moment for a positive vision.
Mm.
There's what David Seymour's doing, which is pressing people's emotional buttons and triggers so that they'll get angry and fight. And so that's a really negative vision.
Oh, that's
the vision that they're out to get what's rightfully yours.
You guys need to wake up. We need to open our eyes. I do want to say, Aaron, we do need to open our eyes up and we do need to take responsibility. If we're going to listen to somebody like that, really? I mean, how intelligent? Where is our intelligence?
But it's not intelligence. This is all happening at the emotional level.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Our intelligence individually, if we keep feeding that, you keep growing the machine, you know, deny it and go, you know, you're making no sense. And don't even engage with it. Just carry on and build into what is real, what we can stand on, which is our blueprint and our foundation document, which is the Māori version of the treaty as it stands. Don't try and muck with it. Don't try and pull out bits of it and go, well, this isn't, you know. We all know that the foundation of that treaty is good for us. It is healthy. It is about this country and it is about coming together and looking after what we've got and stop trying to own and sell off and make money from. And I'm talking to everybody, Māori and Pākehā, because we're all responsible for this, Māori and Pākehā, for trying to take bits and pieces and make money out of something when we shouldn't. That was never the heart behind what we were given.
So this thing with David Seymour and the traction he's got is, and the lack of a positive vision, this really reinforces to me in a way that I hadn't expected it to, what we started off with, which is the importance of a positive vision or a vision for a community. And this is about the importance of a vision for our country and about Māori and Pākehā and the country being able to live together in a positive way. And there's no one out there at the moment with a positive vision about what that might look like.
We've already got the vision.
Yeah, but no one's talking about it.
Go back to the blueprint, and
I got a vision from the way life was in this country before the treaty was signed, where I'm sure there were problems here and there, but overall it was a really positive, constructive picture.
Yeah.
And at the moment, there's certainly nothing constructive happening from our political leaders at the moment. But there's not even on. I barely see a positive vision on the other side of the political fence either.
Okay, so
it's all fighting.
There is nothing positive about politics, Aaron. It's a red herring.
There are sometimes leaders who can bring a positive vision.
Can we move away from politics? Could we go back to common law? Could we actually take some responsibility in our communities like Wenera did when we had the courthouse here and we came together as a community and worked out some of those smaller disputes that end up to be the bigger things that happen in community because they haven't been dealt with at a smaller issue where we sat around a table and worked things out. We've given over to a system that has a law attached to it that now tells you what you can and cannot do. So our room for discussion or for our stories to be heard are not happening. We're just getting cut off blunt as, and that's it, because this is what the law says.
Well, yeah, but there's so much of our lives that aren't dictated by the law that we can still work. We can get away from where we've gone now.
Well, if you're looking at community and how you're going to come together as community, then community needs to trust its founding members who are the community people here who have lived a long time here, who have a heart. It's a bit like going back to the treaty, who have a heart for the land and a heart for the people and the best interest. And that is what our forefathers had for us in the treaty was the heart they wanted to give.
The hard thing is working out how that works in our modern context.
Well, how it works is retain what you have and do what Eva did and stick up for yourself and don't get bullied by louder voices, more aggressive people, when you know what you're standing on is correct and true and right.
But I don't think that's happening anymore because like
give me an Eva and it'll happen.
But what I'm saying is like the legacy of her work is that the council, like there's land and there's been the treaty claims have been made and the Treaty of Waitangi has issued its its statement about the land around this area, and now there's negotiations going on. But before that even happened, the council was working with the original rightful landowners at, like at Papahua, to co-manage over there across the Walk Bridge. So her legacy was that was already happening, you know, before the government got round to negotiating with the rightful owners about how they were going to redress all those issues. So we already do have practical examples of how that might work, and that's what we need to get to, because we can talk and talk and talk, but in the end it's like, how is it going to work in practice?
It's going to work in practice by those people in it. I mean, it's already, we've got to realise it's already working in practice in Raglan.
Yeah.
Okay, we are in an amazing community who offers many different avenues to connect. It's more so that people need to know those avenues and that they are familiar in our community. So you could be somebody who walked into our community and didn't come from here and could instantly know where to find those threads to connect. And that I think is our struggle in community. We've had so many different groups trying to find ways to help our community connect, and it's never been an easy one. Some of us know this, some of us know this about our community. It's hard to, you know, you and I could talk about things in our community, and if somebody's listening, hopefully, you know, they'd go, oh, I didn't know about that. That's what I think is missing in our community is that connection of knowing.
That was one of the visions for this show and for the radio station when we started doing this like 12 years ago, was that, because there are many diverse groups in our community, it really stands out, something about Raglan, and I really haven't lived in any other small towns, but the discussion so far has been about Māori and Pākehā treaty partners, but within Pākehā and within just people who live here, there's many, many diverse groups living quite different lives, and we need to be aware of each other and understand each other, and that was a little bit of the vision for the show. I don't know quite how, I don't think it's worked out 100% at all, but that was an idea that we had, that people would need to learn about each other somehow. You know,
I think I'm really thankful for the radio station. It's over the years, it's given me a voice that I would never have had in community, and now it's led me into being able to express myself more in another part of my show that I do, which, you know, is massive. The radio is definitely a big part of what brings this community together, information. And, you know, I hear people, and it annoys me. I hear people go, oh, you know, I don't listen to Raglan Radio. Well, wake up. You need to. Honestly, you need to.
Well, no, but I'm not in that I am not taking that position, because no town has all the people listening to one source.
And they don't.
And they haven't,
for
a long time.
If you want to know what's happening in your community, that is an excellent source to get information from.
Well,
think our information board out here maybe could, it's a map of Raglan, right? I actually haven't looked at it lately, so I could be offbeat in what I'm going to say.
No, it's still there.
And it's still got just the map of Raglan?
Yeah, I saw it. Biked past it this morning.
So wouldn't it, I don't know, maybe we could upgrade that. Maybe we could have some of the, all of the avenues in Raglan that make us Raglan, so people can find the things that they are looking for. They can find
That's a paid thing.
Well, then we pay for it. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how we get the information, or, you know, where is the information? Where is it that we can see it as a visitor coming to Raglan, that this is who Raglan is? Not just walk around the streets and see some shops, but this is the underbelly of Raglan. Look, here it is.
The underbelly.
This is what we do.
You want to show them the underbelly? That's not. You realise what that phrase means?
What does it mean?
That's like our criminal underbelly of Raglan.
I don't know much about that one, so maybe there we go. Okay, so maybe the foundations who we are. Underbelly to me means seeing the vulnerability of our community, of who we are. This is who we are. This makes up. You know, the underbelly is something we you know, if you think about underbelly, we cover it.
Using the word for a different meaning.
I wasn't thinking of criminal activity, although that is very present in Raglan, like it is everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, communities are communities. But if we go to the negative is what will be seen. What we need to do is pull out our resources. Who are we? Who are we as a people here in Raglan? And when you get to see who we are, I think too many people are going to want to be here, you know, in Raglan. They're going to want,
you know. Do we need to be ruder to our visitors, Marie? Make sure they don't want to stay.
That's what some people think, eh? But, hey, don't be like that, because people need good places to go to so that they can be filled up too.
So I want to go back to just one thing we were saying about the radio. Like I'm very aware, and we are very aware, that there's a world of media out there, which is why we have, as well as our live radio and the web stream, or the web stream, is that the right word? Yeah. We've got podcasting, we've got social media, Facebook and Instagram, which we're using all of those and written articles to try to get the information out that we have. Like it's you know, it's no good for us saying, well, everyone should listen to us, because that's not the world we live in. But so we've gone out to try and meet people where they are to make sure that that side of the radio station still is effective.
It's like extreme waste. Not everybody should recycle. but our hope is that if we educate them enough or give them enough information, that they will want to recycle,
and make
because
it easy.
It's good for us and it's good for the future of our country and our kids that are growing up around us. You know, so that's what I mean. We need to go back to the blueprint. There is a blueprint there. There is a foundation there. The heart of it is awesome. It is healthy. It is vibrant and alive and as active as it was back then. We just need to pick up on it and run with it a bit more and have some belief in what our forefathers believed in themselves. And that is that we can actually work together if we realise the resource that we've got, and that it isn't about ownership, but about, and I know I'm going to get this, kaikitanga, I ain't going to get it wrong.
Kaikitanga.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm dyslexic, and those words are going to fly all over in my mouth. It ain't going to come out well. I have to really stop and say that. But my heart is there for it. So I might not be able to speak the language or say that word so well, but my heart is definitely involved with it and engaged with what that means in our founding documents.
Yeah, and that comes back to the overall topic of this conversation, which is about having a vision. And that, as I've said, that's what's missing in the political debates. There's just a negative vision where we're taking things away from you. We're taking things we have to take back, or we're just taking things away from you. And certainly David Seymour skilled at pushing that button. But the vision of this country pre-treaty was of different cultures coming together for their mutual benefit, and everyone did benefit, and that's actually what it's like. The negativity that we get from political people pushing their own agendas is just designed to make us vote for them, but it brings all this negativity into it, and the vision is, and it's not even accurate. Like when people work together, everything grows and everyone benefits.
Yep.
And that's actually how it works.
Yeah.
And we get so much negativity, and we listen to the news, which is all negative, and hearing about people who are unable to work together. And there are trouble spots in the world where people are not working together well. We know what those are. The rest of the world, people are trying to find ways to work together and are succeeding in working together. And when they do that, it is mutually beneficial for everybody involved. And that's what we forget. In fact,
you can't control so much at that level.
No, and who needs control? It's just the people at the top with the power. They're wanting the control. The rest of us just want to live our lives.
The most afraid are the ones who need to control the most.
Yeah. And for them, like for David Seymour, the last thing he wants actually is for Māori and Pākehā to work together and for race relations in this country to be a non-issue.
Well, that's why
because he gets his
he's not a Seymour.
Yeah, but he gets yes.
I'm sorry, that's
but
a
he
bit
gets
rude.
He gets his it's actually, I mean, it makes a point. But he gets his power from us not getting along and not being able to work together, not being able to negotiate. That's where he gets his power from. So if we find ways to work together and live together and to negotiate and grow together, he will be rendered impotent. Yep. That's the thing we need to understand, is every time we fight the man, he gets stronger. Yep. Every time we fight you get stronger.
It's also engaging you enough that your energy is focused on him. So now for your energy is not focused on what actually matters.
I know, and we've struggled all through this, and it's noticeable we've struggled all through this conversation to keep bringing it back to the idea of having a positive vision and the importance of that, because all that stuff is such a powerful distraction.
It will be a red herring. It will take you away. So you want a positive vision, go back to our forefathers and their heart for this country and us, because we're still living from that generation that looked forward enough to us, was hopeful for us, that they could put something together that was going to sustain the society. It is our blueprint, and a blueprint is what we need to go back to, regardless of what we think about language and what this means and what that means. The blueprint will give us the way through, which is the heart of our forefathers, of what they wanted for us, which was... I mean, they weren't silly. Obviously, we weren't going to get this perfect. Not all of us are going to agree, but it was a founding enough for us. That the treaty was enough for us to undergirdle what we wanted to do to go forward. And because of a stupid piece of language, a stupid word, and we've got so caught up on it.
What's the word?
And we've ownership.
Oh, well, that's the... ownership of resources underpins the whole capitalist society.
Well, that's the word.
System.
And we've gotten stuck on it. It's been a red herring. We have been lost in this dark place for years, and we've believed the lies that have come from it. And let's just be real. The language is the language, and you can't take away from what our forefathers meant when they said partnership, to come in unison, to come alongside, not to dominate, not to take over, but to come alongside. And I'm a person-centered counsellor. Every part of my counselling is to come alongside the person, not to dominate, not to control. So I get this. To walk alongside somebody is to, you don't have to be a part of their world. You're just walking alongside it. You don't have to take over it. We're doing this together. I'll learn something from you and you'll learn something from me. And you know, that's how we do life. That's how we grow and how we transform as human beings. But, you know, if you want to come under the British way of dominating, I mean, that's what we've got. And here we are today. And is it a good picture? Is it healthy? Has it done us well? Parts of it has. Most haven't. We need to rethink it.
This is the thing I keep coming back to a lot in the last few years, is that we watch so much news and we think, and even if we stop watching it, there's an implication that the news gives that that's the important stuff, that we should prioritize knowing about that and thinking about that. And it's not all of our lives. Mm. Politics is one part of our lives. And the news out there looks bad because that's the news they collect.
Mm.
And everyone knows that you can't make a news bulletin out of a happy thing.
I was just thinking, but collect or collective, hey?
I'm talking about these words.
No, I'm just thinking about the words and how they can, our English language is very me.
Well, that's a distraction. Collect. So they go and get the negative stuff, and there's unspoken implications in that negative information is news. And that's also, it's the news, and you have to pay attention to it, and that it's important, and it's of primary importance in our lives, and all of that stuff is not true.
No.
And I mean, luckily,
red herrings, Aaron.
We get to talk about positive stuff on this show, which is good. I mean, we have days where we talk about negative stuff too, but days where we're meeting people who are doing constructive things, and that's. Comes from being in Raglan that we can do that. It's not the show. The show is just reflecting Raglan.
Yes, well done. Yeah. And so that's a really good. Isn't that awesome? It's not the radio. It's just reflective of Raglan, and that language is treaty language. it's reflective of our community. So you're not saying, I'm owning this because, you know, it's the radio that's been doing all of this. Well, of course it is. How did you not know that?
I don't know if it's treating.
It's reflective, right? And that's what it's our blueprint. Everything about that is about partnership, coming alongside, coming together, is language that is good and healthy language. Māoridom is all about we, us, okay? Togetherness, not I, me, and individualism, which is very much our way of thinking, Pākehā way of thinking. It's about me and mine.
I don't want to say it's the Pākehā way of thinking. I think it comes from I don't want to use the word capitalist, but we'll have to use it, the capitalist system, which has shaped our language.
There
and it's
go.
Not
yeah. shaped.
When
yeah,
you go when you go back to a time before that system, white people, Pākehā people weren't thinking that way. So it's just come from that system.
It's very much about ownership. And, I mean, we just have to own that for ourselves. It's in our language. It's okay that we have a language is about I and me, you
it's
know?
Funny that it's
about having awareness around that and growing from it.
You say it's in our language. You actually use the word own to describe
exactly
how we have to deal with it.
It's, you know, like we've got to – we do. We do need to – this is my blueprint. This is where I come from. That doesn't mean I can't change and adjust – to something that is more healthier, that is going to come alongside and grow our community, rather than me go in and dominate and say, well, you know, I'm going to own half of Ragland because that makes me powerful, you know, and so I'm going to do everything I can to buy up as much as I can so I can have as much power as I can, you know. Well, sooner or later, people, you know, aren't going to want to sit under that kind of power. And this isn't your place. This is our place, and it belongs to all of us. And so we want to claim it and live in it in unison and partnership, not ownership and dominance. Ragland is a beautiful place. Wouldn't it be great if the treaty could work somewhere and looked like it could actually be a good founding blueprint for us.
It is doing its job because it's providing a basis for righting wrongs and for negotiation. Like it
brings our awareness up.
It is serving
about our sea.
But I'm saying it's serving a purpose now, even though it got ignored and
thank goodness,
and
where
all
would
that
we be?
For a long period.
Where would we be without
it? It still serves a purpose. Yeah, well, we'd find another way, but it wouldn't be easy.
And we wouldn't be talking about this now, which gives us an opportunity of talking about humanity and being human and working together. We wouldn't have that even sitting there for us if we didn't have that founding document. We wouldn't be having these discussions. So
anyway,
I'm very thankful for it.
Time for us to wrap up. We've tried to focus on the importance of having a vision, I think, and the importance of a positive vision, and recognizing that there are people out there trying to drag us into a negative vision for their own benefit, not for our benefit.
But
so,
that we do have a blueprint.
But it's been hard to keep focused on the positive stuff. We found it difficult, even though that was our intention this morning.
That is, because there's a lot of, and there is, generational anger, and it's going to be there for a very long time. But we do have a blueprint. It's an amazing blueprint. I encourage people to have a look at that and realise that in many ways in Ragland we are living out that blueprint. We probably just need to recognise it a bit more and name it and saying this is what the treaty looks like in reality when we're working together like this and bring it to the forefront so that we can own it a bit more.
All right, Marie, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Okay, folks, that's the end of the show for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow, and if you're listening at 8 o'clock on Thursday, you're going to hear from me right now.